We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers.
I'm Ronnie Allen. Today I am delighted to have as my very special guest an Academy Award-nominated actress whose career has spanned about 60 years. She's also a highly respected singer, voiceover artist, and author. Among many other characters too numerous to mention in this introduction, you've known her as the esteemed literary professor Dr. Diane Turner, news correspondent Sally Hughes, Kay King, the mother of a teenager named Lauren, and most notably, Major Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan. Welcome to the show. Sally Kellerman.
Very nice, Ron.
You were born in Long Beach, California?
I was born there, and then my mother got in the car and drove to San Fernando. I don't know. I guess they'd lived in Long Beach somewhere, but they'd moved. They got a house in San Fernando.
Your mom was musically inclined.
She taught piano, yeah. She was very musical, lovely.
And your dad worked for Shell Oil.
She was a salesman, go on the road for the oil companies, involved in oil, yeah.
Did you attend Hollywood High?
That's the truth.
Were there any other famous people that were classmates of yours there?
No.
But you did at some point enroll in Jeff Corey's acting class.
Yeah, right out of high school. Because my friend Norma Jean Nielsen, she was a child actress, and she was in my grade in Hollywood High. And I told her, I'm going to be an actress.
Uh-huh.
A guy named Dan O'Hurley, he was an actor. He'd come to talk to us. And I said, I'm going to go work with Dan O'Hurley. She said, oh, listen, if you're serious about being an actress, then come with me to this class, Jeff Corey. Okay, I will, you know. The class was James Coburn, the infamous Robert Blake, and Jack Nicholson, who became my closest friend. It was very exciting.
You were in a film in 1957 called Reform School Girl?
Yes.
Right.
A great experience for me. The night they showed it in the theater, when I came on, everybody laughed. And it wasn't a comedy. You know, I'd gone to my part was I had to go down somewhere and pick up a bunch of tools and walk back with them to where they were using them. And when I hit the screen, they laughed. I said, oh, yeah, they knew I should have been a comedian. I hadn't said a word, you know.
Interesting. In 1964, skipping ahead a few years, you played Judith Bolero, the manipulative and ruthless wife of Richard Bolero, played by Martin Landau, who sadly passed away recently, in an episode of The Outer Limits entitled The Bolero Shield.
Well, it was great. I mean, it was a thrill because I'm from here, and he was coming in from New York to do something with his then wife. So it was like, oh, my God, here comes the big time, you know. And so it was exciting.
And a couple of years later, you played psychiatrist Elizabeth Denner, I guess it's pronounced D-E-H-N-E-R, the second pilot for Star Trek called Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Right.
And you worked with a gentleman named William Shatner.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Now, out of necessity, Sally, I'm going to leave some things out, some of your credits. You have so many credits because I really want to get to the role that firmly established you as a major star. And I invite my listeners to think of a type of potato that also became a popular dance. Hint, hint. There's a quote I saw attributed to you, Sally. I want to know if it's accurate. You reportedly said, I always wanted to be an actress. My mother told me to get a job as an elevator operator because Dorothy L'Amour was discovered that way.
Oh, no, everybody, my mother didn't tell me.
Is that just an urban legend?
I did get a job as an elevator operator, and I lasted one day. It was the most boring. I mean, I've listened my hats off to whoever is an elevator operator because it's up the street and down the street. But maybe it's fun. I don't know.
I don't know. But you didn't get discovered that way.
No.
Now we go to something I am so anxious to discuss with you. He was not the first choice to direct it. We're talking about MASH, but an established Robert Altman as one of the leading figures of Hollywood's 1970s generation of innovative filmmakers. You had the chance to work with Robert Altman. How did you get the role in MASH? Was it Robert Altman that said, I'd like to have Sally in the movie. Did it happen?
Oh, yeah, I'll say. I'd go to meetings and things like that to get a job, you know. Blah, blah, blah. So this was just another one of those meetings where you go in and there's a whole bunch of people. I had no idea who the director or the writer or anybody was in the room because there seemed to be a lot of guys in the room. So I just went in and I don't know what I said or they said. But in the middle of the meeting, this guy goes, I'll give you the best part in the picture, Hot Lips.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he said Hot Lips then or not. I'll give you the best part in the picture. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
So I leave the meeting, and I got the script, and I'm standing outside, thumbing through every page, dung, 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 can't find anything, dung, 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 can't find anything, ding, 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 nothing, 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 nothing. And I would just turn to stone. I said, oh, man, I'll never get in the movies. I'll never get in the movies. And my then agent said, you know, Sally, you really should go back and meet Robert Altman because I think he's really going to be a big deal. I said, oh, brother. You know, okay, I'll go. So I go there. And he says, oh, come on in. And I say, why did you tell me this is me with him? Why did you tell me it was the best part in the picture? I can't even find it. You know, I don't know what else I said, but I was like petulant and I was mad at him. I'm mad at the director already, you know.
Before you even did a scene, you were mad at him.
I was mad at him, but I didn't even know him, but I was mad at
him. God. MASH went on to win the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay and received 4 additional Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, and you, Sally Kellerman, for Best Actress in a Supporting Role.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
The movie is set in 1951 in South Korea, but where was it actually filmed? Was it filmed in Hollywood?
Yeah, on the 20th Century Fox lot, and then in the back, out in the country somewhere.
You know, there's an expression that one picture is worth 1,000 words, and I believe that one audio clip, if it's good, is worth at least 950. With that in mind, Sally, I am going to share with my listeners 4 audio clips from your legendary Academy Award-nominated performance in MASH. Okay, clip number 1. This is called Hawkeye Tells Hot Lips Off. In this scene, Hawkeye, played by Donald Sutherland, is joined in the mess tent by the new chief nurse, Major Margaret Houlihan, played by you, Sally, and you quickly discover that your relationship with one another is not jolly, dandy, peachy, keen, terrific.
Major Frank Burns is an idiot. He has flipped his wig that he's done in his skin, that he's a lousy surgeon.
On the contrary, I have observed that Major Burns is not only a good technical surgeon, he is a good military surgeon.
Finished?
I've also noticed that nurses as well as enlisted men address you as Hawkeye.
Yeah, because that's my name, Hawkeye Pierce.
Well, that kind of informality is inconsistent with maximum efficiency in a military organization.
Come off it, Major! You put me right off my fresh fried lobster. Do you realize that? I'm going to go back to my bed. I'm going to put away the best part of a bottle of scotch. And under normal circumstances, you being normally what I would call a very attractive woman, I would have invited you back to share my little bed with me, and you might possibly have come. But you really put me off. I mean, you're what we call a regular army clown.
I wonder how a degenerated person like that could have reached a position of responsibility in the Army Medical Corps.
Sally, maybe we need the group War, the rock and roll group, to come in and sing, Why Can't We Be Friends? Wow, I don't think that would have worked, but I will tell you, Sally, that is a great scene. Now, how did you get the name Hot Lips? Well, as a practical joke, a lovemaking session between the incompetent and pompous surgeon, Frank Burns, played by Robert Duvall, and Major Margaret Houlihan, played by you, is broadcast throughout the entire...
Oh, yeah, we're having sex, and these guys in the movie, they put a microphone under my bed.
Really nice.
And so while we're going, I'm going, oh, yes, and making noise and groans and everything. They turned on their switch, and it was all over the camp.
That's where you were talking about Hot Lips, too.
Yeah, oh, kiss my Hot Lips, I said to Robert Duvall, you know. We didn't know anyone was listening.
Hi. What's going on? May I join you?
Thanks. A little radio.
Oh, good joke.
Oh, yes. Wait, I'm close up with Frank. Oh, Frank.
Is this the Bickersons? I love them.
Oh, Frank, yes.
Huh? The battling Bickerson. Love.
Gloria. Gloria. Oh, Frank. Oh. Hi.
Oh, no, I forgot. You're shining that thing in my eyes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, he is such a sweet man.
Oh, Frank, my lips are hot. Oh, kiss my hot lips.
Hot lips?
We have got to share this with the rest of the gang.
Frank, strangle me.
What the hell is that?
Oh, yes.
Dr. Frank Burns is doing a bit of dilatation and curettage.
It sounds like the major, the new major, is having a dream. It's just plugged in.
Frank! Wait a second!
What is it?
Turn the light off! No, turn the light off! Get your clothes on!
Don't turn on me!
Frank, wait!
Well, now that I played that, the entire world knows how your character got the famous or infamous name Hot Lips. Wow. And then we have another clip, and Sally, this is you having a meltdown. I must warn my listeners, this is not warm and fuzzy.
Major, what went on over
there? Where's Colonel Black?
Wait a second. You can't go and see Colonel
Black. Shut up, you twerp! This isn't a hospital! It's an insane asylum! And it's your fault! Because you don't do anything to discourage them!
What do you want me to do?
Put them under arrest! See what a court-martial thinks of that drunken hooliganism! At first they called me a hot lip, and you let them get away with it. And then you let them get away with everything. And if you don't turn them over to the MPs this minute, I'm going to resign my commission.
Wow.
The colonel says, well, damn it, hot lips. Resign your commission, you know. And then I burst into tears. My commission. And I backed out of the tent, you know.
Damn it, Hot Lips, resign your damn commission.
My commission.
Sally, you threatened to resign your commission. One of my listeners wants to know, did that ever happen?
No, I didn't. I wanted to stay in the Army. I didn't want to be thrown out.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, there's one more clip that I'm going to play. I asked my listeners to suggest questions, and a listener named Dale Abbott suggested this one. When she did the shower scene at dress or undress rehearsal, did all the guys attend? He said, I'm betting no one was absent. Is that accurate?
All these guys, you know, Donald Sutherland and L.A. Gould and everybody, they all were around the corner. And so I guess when the scene took place, they were somewhere right there. Oh, yeah, it was so much fun, but it
was
so scary.
What happened is those practical jokers rigged something up so that at some point the front went down.
Well, I was taking a shower.
And everybody got quite a show.
Yeah, somebody tricked me and they pulled up the shower curtain, right? I don't remember, I think so. The scene starts singing in the shower. No, I was so scared. You could hear me going, anyway, and because I knew the curtain was going to come up.
Oh, that's
that curtain came up, honey, I was like a fly. I hit that ground so fast. You never saw anybody hit a ground so fast.
Wow.
So there was nothing anybody could see except my husband said, well, I'm going to rewind that, you know, and let me see what I can see.
Oh, and play it in slow motion.
Play it in slow motion.
Absolutely. Sally, listening to interviews that you've done in the past, I've heard you mention that working with Mr. Altman, you were able to view dailies. Was this a normal thing? Did all directors allow you to view dailies?
No. Everybody had their own thing. But Bob just brought everybody in, made it one big happy family. I never wanted to see myself in dailies. It was just like, yikes, dailies, they're not edited. And I didn't like seeing myself anyway, so I was like working with Bob. The minute that the curtain would go down at the end of the day, we'd get in the back of this car and Bob would get out some marijuana and we'd all smoke. And
your portrayal of Hot Lips made such an incredible impression on the public. Were you ever worried that you would be typecast, that people would always see you as Hot Lips?
Oh, probably. I probably, you know, thought of that when I was that age, you know, going, oh my God, now I'm ruined, you know.
After MASH, you appeared in a number of Robert Altman's films, including Rooster McCloud.
Yeah.
Welcome to L.A., Player, and Pret-a-Porter. I think I did that right.
Pret-a-Porter.
Okay, that's close enough. Not close at all. And also a TV anthology series called Gun in 1997. So,
oh, my God, I forgot
I guess
that,
you
yeah.
kind of admired this guy, Robert
Altman.
Oh,
I loved him so much, and he was so great to me. And it was always so much fun.
We're up to the part of the interview now. It's going to make my wife very happy. I mean, when I told her I was going to be interviewing you, and she loves Lost Horizon, and she's just thrilled. She's going to be dancing up and down. Lost Horizon is a 1973 American musical film, and it stars Peter Finch, John Gielgud, Liv Ullmann, Michael York, somebody named Sally Kellerman, Bobby Vann, George Kennedy, Olivia Hussey, James Shigeta, Charles Boyer, and A Partridge in a Pear Tree. It stars everybody.
Really?
The songs in the film were all written by two songwriting legends, composers Burt Bacharach and lyricist Hal David. Now, as far as you are concerned, this film was very special because you actually got to sing in it, and your voice was not dubbed by somebody else. It was your voice singing, right?
Yeah.
And that was not true of the other ladies. Liv Ullmann and Olivia Hussey were dubbed.
Yeah. That's right. Liv and I became best friends. And it's too bad we've lost touch because she went back to Sweden.
Yes. Lost Horizon is about a group of travelers whose airplane is hijacked while fleeing a bloody revolution. Interesting film. There are newcomers that make it to Shangri-La. People like Richard Conway, played by Peter Finch, the group's leader. He falls in love with Catherine, played by Liv Ullmann, a school teacher. And Conway's younger brother, George, is played by Michael York. Now, you played the role of Sally Hughes, a magazine correspondent. One of the subplots involves you trying to convince traveler Sam Cornelius, played by George Kennedy, who discovers gold, to use his engineering skills to bring better irrigation to the farmers instead of attempting to smuggle out the gold. Where was Lost Horizon filmed? Was it filmed in Hollywood?
Yeah, it was Universal Backlot, and then out where they shoot a lot of things, out in Malibu Canyon.
But none of it was filmed outside of the country then?
Some of it was filmed in, like, part of the film I wasn't in. Some local place, some state.
During the film, a lot of the scenes take place in what looks like the inside of an airplane. Did they actually build an airplane from a real airplane?
No, they had a real airplane there
on
the set.
So you were actually inside a real airplane?
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing that when the plane crashed, the pilot got killed.
We weren't in the plane that time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand that. But I'm saying that all the other characters escaped without a scratch.
And the captain died?
The captain died. Yeah, the captain, of course, dies.
But you
and everybody else escape without a scratch so that you're going to be able to make it to Shangri-La and do all these wonderful songs. By the way, I discovered something. You know the song, The World is a Circle, which Liv Ullmann performs?
The world is a circle without a beginning.
Yes. Now, I realize that it sounds strangely familiar to What's New Pussycat, popularized by Tom Jones.
The world is a circle without a beginning, and nobody knows where it really ends.
Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you.
It turns out that both of those songs were written by Bacharach and David. They didn't have to sue for plagiarism. I am going to now play the first of two songs sung by you. It's called The Things I Will Not Miss. It's performed by you as Sally Hughes and Olivia Hussey as Maria. And you start the song.
On the list of the things that I will not miss, first of all is noise. On the list of the things that I will not miss is peace and quiet. I would like to try it. Different people look at life from different points of view. If you really want the things I have, just tell yourself, I give it all to you.
On the list of the things that I will not miss, I would mention crowds.
On the list of the things that I will not miss is open spaces.
Why can't we change places?
Different people look at life from different points of view. If you really want the things I have, just tell yourself, I give it all to you.
On the list of the things that I will not miss, I would mention work.
On the list of the things that I will not miss is contemplation.
Sounds like a great vacation.
Different people look at life from different points of view. If you really want the things I have, just tell yourself, I give it all to you.
On the list of the things that I will not miss, most of all is rain.
On the list of the things that I will not miss is too much sunshine.
Can there be too much sunshine?
Different people look at life from different points of view. If you really want the things I have, just tell yourself they're yours. I give it all to you.
Sally, there's a bit of choreography in that. So you not only sang, but you also danced a little bit. Was that difficult? Did you have a special dance teacher?
Yeah. Hermias Pan, one of the most brilliant dancers in all of the 30s, all those people who did dancing movies, he was a choreographer.
I always call it the library song, because I remember that's where it was taking place.
Right, up the stairs of the library. Yeah.
And here's the other song that you do, a solo performance called Reflections.
Because your reflection reflects on everything you do, and everything you do reflects on you. Okay,
That's it.
That's my current version.
That's your current version, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 2017 version.
It might have been a little better in the movie.
Oh, I don't know. I always think it's so special when I interview somebody and they do a little impromptu performance. Here's the scene with George Kennedy as Sam Cornelius, in which you sing that song, Reflections.
There. Gold. The stream is full of it.
So?
We can smuggle it out. Get those porters to help us.
Correction. You bribe the porters. I got something better to do.
Such as?
Such as not sitting around worrying about how to spend money in a place where money isn't any good.
What about when we get out?
Get out? How? Sam, you got to be more practical. Trouble with you is you haven't got any inner resources.
Who hasn't? What are you trying to tell me?
Your life is made up of infinite possibilities, and you're not realizing one of them. Not one.
For instance?
When you look at yourself, do you like what you see? If you like what you see, you're the person you should be. 'Cause your reflection reflects in everything you do, and everything you do reflects on you. When you wake up each day, do you like how you feel? If you like how you feel, you've got nothing to conceal. 'Cause your reflection reflects in everything you do, and everything you do reflects on you. Doing something for someone else isn't really for someone else. It's just twice as much for you as something you do just for yourself. When you lay down to sleep, do you like all your dreams? If you like all your dreams, life's as happy as it seems, 'cause your reflection reflects in everything you do, and everything you do reflects on you.
You said the other night that these farms around here needed better irrigation. Well, you were an engineer. Go irrigate!
The most popular song from the movie was actually Living Together, Working Together, because the Fifth Dimension did a version of that. And it was
Living Together, Working Together. I can't remember that. But that's
well, you remembered enough.
I remember that, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing Sally Kellerman doing the entire score from
Lost Horizon.
I have a question. You know the critics were not exactly kind to it. How did you feel? You think they were a little bit unfair in the way they evaluated the movie?
I have no idea. It's their problem. You know, they didn't like it. It was a very commercial film.
Oh, yeah. And today it's doing very well. They have a brand new DVD, I believe, of it. And it's become more and more popular. One last question about Lost Horizon. I believe in an interview with Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show, right before the release of Lost Horizon, you mentioned you were going to do some sort of a command performance for the Queen, arranged by the film's producer, Ross Hunter. Did that ever take place?
Oh, yeah. We met the Queen because Ross Hunter was a showman down to his tip of his toes and the top of his head. He did all those Lana Turner movies. They were great, you know.
I remember the interview because Johnny Carson was asking you, do you have to learn how to curtsy? I assume by the time you got there, you knew exactly what to do.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go to a vocal performance by you now. This is a segment from your 1977 cabaret act, which was taped at Reno Sweeney with Bob Esty on piano. What's it called? Who knows? I just told you. That's what it's called.
Who knows? You might find out that love is right, sir. Like that, I think that's the song, yeah.
Yeah, who needs audio clips when I have the real thing here?
Really? I'm lying on the chaise. My head's hanging upside down.
No, a small talk baby, and my eyes always give away. I'm stalling for time, and you know me, Sam. I'm hoping that's the last thing to say. I'm ready for you so bad that my temper just can't get in the line. I'm ready to follow you right into hellfire. Who knows? You might find out that love is right there. Love grows. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
If love is wrong, well, that's how love goes. Maybe you and me can get close with a little practice. The love grows. Maybe all for me. Who knows?
That That was you, Sally, in 1977, singing a song called Who Knows. We're going to skip forward 2 years to 1979. I love this film. A Little Romance is a 1979 romantic comedy film directed by George Roy Hill, right, who also directed The Sting and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Now, the film follows a French boy named Daniel, portrayed by Thelonious Bernard, and an American girl named Lauren, played by Diane Lane, in her first screen role. They meet in Paris, and they begin a romance that leads to a journey to Venice, where they hope to seal their love forever with a kiss beneath the Bridge of Sighs. And by the way, the great actor Laurence Olivier portrayed Julius Santorin, a kindly gentleman who helps the two of them along in their adventure. Now, Sally, you played the role of Lauren's self-absorbed mother, Kay King, and you consort openly with her movie director boyfriend, George, in front of Lauren, and fiercely object to their romance shortly after Daniel punches George at Lauren's birthday party for making a crude innuendo about Lauren. You made it very clear how you felt about Daniel when you called him
French boy!
That had to be a wonderful role.
That was good.
Was the movie actually filmed in France?
Oh, yeah.
Also, Italy?
Yeah, they went to Venice. My character wasn't written in to go to Venice.
Well, that was true, but you suggested to George Roy Hill a way that your character could go to Venice, but it didn't quite work out.
All you have to do is have the character say, "You come with us, Mother," you know. And he wouldn't go for it.
I have a side note. Thelonious Bernard, who played the boy, did not remain in show business. He did a walk-on role in a 1981 film, but that was it. And he is presently a French dentist. Did you know that, Sally?
No. Oh, my God. That's so interesting.
He never stayed with it.
Oh, he was such a cutie pie. He was such a sweet boy.
And, of course, this was Diane Lane's first role, and must have been fun working with Diane.
Oh, she's darling, yeah.
It's a fun movie, Sally. One of my favorites, and I've watched it many times. Highly recommended. It was recently, in fact, on Turner Classic Movies. I'm sure it will be again and again. Many celebrities have hosted Saturday Night Live, and that includes you. Do you remember in 1981 you hosted SNL and the musical guest was the Queen of Disco, Miss Donna Summer?
I remember Donna Summer.
We're going to go back to school right now. A 1986 American comedy film starring Rodney No Respect Dangerfield with Keith Gordon, Sam Kinison, Robert Downey Jr., and you, among others, directed by Alan Medder. Did I say it was called Back to School? Well, I just did.
I was a teacher.
Specifically, you played the role of Dr. Diane Turner, a literature professor who became the love interest of Rodney Dangerfield's character. For those of my listeners who are not familiar with the movie, millionaire businessman Thornton Mellon, played by Rodney Dangerfield, is upset when his son Jason, played by Keith Gordon, announces he's not sure about going to college. Thornton insists that college is the best thing he never had for himself. To prove his point, he agrees to enroll in school along with his son. Thornton is a big hit on campus. He always throws the biggest parties, but he also tries to cheat his way to success. He prefers partying to studying, and he hires a team of professionals to complete his assignments, which was supposedly done by him, including author Kurt Vonnegut, who actually had a cameo role in the movie, in which he wrote a composition about himself, Kurt Vonnegut, for Thornton Mellon to submit to you as his own work, which he did. And one of the funniest things in the movie was you, as Dr. Diane Turner, telling Rodney, as Thornton, that he doesn't know the first thing about Kurt Vonnegut. It was such an entertaining film, and it showed Rodney Dangerfield going beyond the no respect thing as a real human character, you know?
Yes, I know. I got lots of credit for helping him be human.
I have two clips that I'm going to play from Back to School. Here's you as Dr. Turner reading a portion of Molly Bloom's soliloquy from James Joyce's Ulysses, much to the delight of Rodney's character, Thornton Mellon, who, by the way, you will hear in this clip.
And Gibraltar as a girl, for I was a flower of the mountains. Yes, when I put the rose in my hair like the Andalusian girls used. Or shall I wear red? Yes. And how he kissed me under the Moorish wall, and I thought, well, as well him as another. And then I asked him with my eyes to ask again, yes. And then he asked me, would I yes to say yes, my mountain flower. And first I put my arms around him, yes, and drew him down to me so he could feel my breath all perfumed, yes. And his heart was going like mad, and yes, I said, yes, I win, yes.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, thanks for the vote of confidence. I think Joyce is pretty hot, too. And now that I've got your attention, I'd like to run down the reading list for the semester. See what else turns you on.
What a woman.
Ned, she is the teacher.
No, I like teachers. Do something wrong, they make you do it over again.
Here's one more classy scene with Rodney and you.
Oh, Mr. Mellon. Are you waiting for me?
Yes, I was. Look, I know I'm only a freshman, but what do you say you and I have dinner tonight? We could talk about Joyce. She's my favorite writer.
Well, you're not the usual freshman, but I'm sorry I can't. The thing is, I'm sort of going with someone.
Where are you going?
That's a good question. Actually, I'd like to join you, but I have class tonight.
How about tomorrow night?
I have class then, too.
I'll tell you what, then. Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
All right. Maybe I will.
The movie was a big commercial success, and Rodney was in a class by himself.
He was dying. He was wonderful. Sweet as he could be.
We're now going to go to voiceovers. You've done many voiceovers and animation work, and I found a Revlon commercial from 1989. It's on YouTube. Now, this commercial features Joan Rivers, who does a very famous scream, along with the Pointer Sisters, Pat Riley, Bernadette Peters, and Linda Evangelista. You are off camera doing the very prominent voiceover, saying, Revlon nail enamel, irresistible colors, irresistible shine.
What makes a woman unforgettable? That you can reach 50 and not care.
Lama!
Practice, practice, practice.
Revlon nail enamel, irresistible colors, irresistible shine.
For mine, surrounded by lots of naturally curly hair.
Irresistibly long-lasting, what makes a woman unforgettable?
A little luck, the right shade of red.
Unforgettable Revlon.
You know, that started my voiceover career.
And it continued with many others, including this one.
Here in Hidden Valley, everyone loves the creamy homemade taste of Hidden Valley Ranch salad dressing. A secret blend of ranch herbs and spices that tastes so fresh and delicious. It could only come from Hidden Valley Ranch.
Sally, your animation work includes The Mouse and His Child, 1977. Sesame Street presents Follow That Bird, that's 85. Happily Ever After, 1990. Dinosaurs, 1992. Unsupervised, 2012. And the High Fructose Adventures of Annoying Orange, 2013. In order to do true justice to your career, I think a mini-series would be necessary, but hopefully what I have presented here is a most appreciative, representative sample of your work. In 2013, Sally, you released your memoir.
Yeah, it's called Sally Kellerman Read My Lips.
Describing your trials and tribulations in the entertainment business.
So, yeah.
And I checked that it is available on Amazon and eBay. Looking back, are there any roles that you turned down that you now wish you had accepted? I had read that you could have been in the movie Nashville.
Oh, yeah, right. I offended Bob Altman. And he called me up and said, will you be my next picture? And I said, if the part is good. And he hung up on me. So that was the end of that. But anyway, we remained great friends later.
Oh, okay. I assume had you appeared in Nashville, you would have sung.
Yeah, no, I definitely blew it, you know. That was one of those things.
Sally, this has been a joy. And
well, thank you.
I've done a lot of research.
So. I know. It was very nice of you to put the work in and do all that, and I really appreciate it.
I want to wish you continued good health, happiness, and success. I'm going to close with a performance that people can watch on YouTube, and it's called Sally Kellerman Promo Video. By the way, it was posted by Alan Eichler.
We've been working together, and he's a great guy and smart.
And he's posted a lot of videos of you on YouTube. And Sally, again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Ronnie. You really are wonderful, whatever you call it.
Oh, gee. Well, that's going to be on my next resume. I'm going to say I am wonderful, whatever you call it. And I'm going to say Sally Kellerman insisted that that's what I am. I love it. Sally, the floor is yours.
I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, what a life. I'm a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, a pilot, a banker, a wrestler, and a wife. Leave you? Leave you? How could I leave you? How could I go it alone? Could I wave the years away with a quick goodbye? How do you wipe tears away when your eyes are dry? Sweetheart, lover, could I recover? Give up the joys I have known? Not to fetch your pills again every day at 5. Not to give those dinners for 10 elderly men from the UN. How could I survive? Could I leave you and your shelves of the world's best books and those evenings of martyred looks, cryptic sighs, silent looks from those injured eyes? Could I leave the quips with a sting, jokes with a sneer, passionless lovemaking once a year, and the lies ill-concealed, and the wounds never healed, and the games not worth winning? And wait! I'm just beginning. What? Leave you? Leave you? How could I leave you? What would I do on my own? Putting thoughts of you aside in the south of France, would I think of suicide? Darling, shall we dance? Could I live through the pain on a terrace in Spain? Would it pass? It would pass. Could I bury my rage with a boy half your age on the grass? Bet your ass. But I've done that already. Oh, didn't you know, love? Tell me, how could I leave when I've left long ago? Love, could I leave you? No, the point is, could you leave me? Well, I guess you could leave me the house, leave me the flat, leave me the Bronx and Chicago's and all that. You could leave me the stock, the center, the sink, 90% of the money you make, and the rugs and the cooks. Darling, you keep the drugs, angel, you keep the books, honey. I'll take the grand sugar, you keep the spinning, and all of our friends. And just wait up there a minute. Leave you, leave you. How could I leave you? Sweetheart, I have to confess. Could I leave you? Yes. Will I leave you? Will I leave you? Guess.
We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers.